BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Adam, Adam.
Joe, 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 Joe.
Adam, dum, dum.
Joe, Joe, Joe.
Adam, dum.
Joe, 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 Joe.
Adam, dum, dum, dum.
Joe, Joe.
Yay! You know what? There was a bit of correspondence the other week where person A had invited person B to get into our show.
Oh.
Person B had never heard it before. To get into the podcast, even.
Right.
Person B listened to the podcast. And then, I don't know how I saw this, maybe I was Twitter lurking or something. Person B, who listened to the podcast, said, I tried the Adam and Joe podcast, but all it was two stupid men singing their names to old TV show tunes. And I switched off.
I mean, when you strip it down like that, when the bare facts are presented to you, it is hard to justify.
Some programmes, the more they go on and the more self-involved they become, the more alienating they become to new listeners.
That's absolutely
It takes
true.
A while to kind of pick up all the can we call them memes or tropes? No, because it's too pretentious and highfalutin. All the rubs.
Yeah.
The rubbles.
All the stinks.
Yeah.
Well,
is that worrying to you?
No.
I seem to have made you worried. I feel like I've ruined the mood.
Well, it's a bit late to start worrying about stuff like that, isn't it?
It is, it is.
We're going to be in an awful lot of trouble if we start removing all the stuff that's potentially irritating.
Mm.
Don't you reckon?
Oh, well, let's just carry on as normal.
Okay!
There we go, that's normal. Welcome to the Adam and Joe podcast, listeners. Thank you very much for downloading it. This is the condensed version of our BBC Six Music show that goes out every Saturday morning from 10 till 1.
Now, are you collecting vouchers for schools?
No.
Why, do you hate children?
No, we used to.
Yeah.
And we used to give them away to neighbours and stuff. But now I just find them a fiddly extra piece of extraneous paper.
So when you refuse the vouchers, do you feel happy about it? Do you feel you have to make an excuse or anything?
Why?
I'm talking
because
about
I'm...
when you go into a supermarket and at the end you've paid for your groceries and
yeah.
they say, are you collecting vouchers for school?
Well, there's a lot of that when shopping these days. I mean, they ask you whether you have a loyalty card in pretty much every single shop
right.
before you pay for your thing.
But the vouchers for schools thing, I think I always feel guilty about saying,
do no.
you? You know, I've even got children. And I just say no.
My favourite tactic is to look a tiny bit angry. No. No, as if I've had a traumatic incident with school vouchers in the past.
Right.
No. And then they look a bit nervous.
Why would I collect vouchers for schools when I loathe children?
I do that with loyalty cards because I know they're going to ask me as well.
Mm.
Would you like to... No. Often interrupt the sentence is the best way to do it. Yeah? It's just to be mildly scary in day-to-day life.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Vouchers for schools. What are they going to do with the vouchers for
They're
schools?
Worth 0.001 pence each, aren't they, or something? They're going to give books to kids.
We're going to be back in the middle of this podcast with some G6 news. This has been the first week that our Lizard in the Blizzard has been authored by a listener.
Very exciting.
We're going to find out the results. At least, the lyrics were written by a listener.
There's Song Wars coming up later in the podcast for the first time in years.
Years, literally years.
In literally year.
And
other stuff.
Other other potentially
bits
alienating bits of bobbles.
Like a big old barrel of balls. Enjoy!
Here's the bobbins!
Are you ready for the Adam and Joe podcast? Made with little nuggets from their radio show. Mildly amusing mini moments from the past. Beautifully preserved in super stereo. 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 Everybody likes it from your sister to your mother.
Hey man, this is an exciting week coming up because I'm going to a exciting movie premiere.
Are you now?
Yeah.
My one?
Yeah, the Attack the Block movie premiere on Wednesday.
Yes.
And I want your advice though, sartorially.
Yes.
What in heckins am I going to wear? What are you expecting? Is it a black tie thing? Is it...
No. It's interesting, isn't it? Like, I went... Did I tell you this story when I went to the royal premiere of The Lovely Bones?
You wore your trainers.
I wore my trainers and I got all sorts of grief from my lady friend about wearing my trainers.
Mm.
She thought I might be executed or sent to the chopping block.
Should have been.
Same thing, really.
Yeah.
But when I turned up there after all this anxiety, a lot of people were in black tie, but a lot of people were just rolling up dressed completely casually, mm-hmm. leather jackets and jeans. And I wanted to execute them.
That's
to be
totally disrespectful,
frank.
Yeah, because you had a suit and tie on, right?
I did.
What are you going to wear this Wednesday?
I'm going to wear a suit and tie, but I'm the director.
Yeah.
I have to look all proper.
But you, as the director, you could wear pretty much anything. You could wear a sort of insane Lady Gaga hat. Sorry, director.
Yes. Could I, for just to be charismatic and crazy?
Yeah, you could go topless with just nipple tassels.
Yeah, why be any different, though?
Why be any different? why would you want to be any different? You don't. So just go in a suit.
Exactly.
Why, Danny Differ?
Exactly. Take your own advice, yeah. Count Buckley.
Exactly. Danny Differ, he'd probably go into some kind
You're
of.
Very
hat.
Inconsistent.
That's true, isn't
with
it?
Your illogicity.
Yeah.
So I thought I might go for a suit, but I'm probably going to rock some trainers.
Right.
Yeah.
Suit and trainers.
And I don't know whether I'm going to do a tie or not.
What am I going to do? I can't wear suits.
Floopy,
I'm too short.
Floopy, heck, I might not wear a tie.
Are you not?
I might throw caution to the wind.
A shirt
go
rakishly unbuttoned.
Imagine how the women will respond to. What's that bit called there?
The nape.
The nape. Imagine what the ladies will do when they see me completely naked.
Stop.
I'm absolutely stark naped.
Start drooling on the nape. I'd love some suggestions if anyone's listening.
Are you looking for something that'll be attention grabbing?
Well, the thing is that no, not at all. I just want to blend in, but I want to look cool. I'd love to look cool.
My website is we're past that.
It's not
going
to happen,
now.
Is it?
No.
I wish
That's
someone
gone.
Could
That's
make
10 years
me look
ago.
Cool. All my clothes are just like a stupid 18-year-old's clothes. And then I cycle around everywhere, so I just have to wear practical, stupid 18-year-old clothes.
Wear a suit.
I look like Fat Sam in my suit.
You look good. Somebody out there is probably a clothes designer.
Yeah.
And clothes designers have amazing skills for sketching, don't they? So they should do, someone might do one of those amazing sketches to design a premiere outfit for Buckley's.
Can't someone just style me for the day? Black Squadron, right. But listen, can't someone just style me for the Attack the Block premiere?
You're looking for a stylist.
Yeah, and you'll get all. I mean, because there's going to be a paparazzi mob frenzy.
There'll be at least three photographers.
Dr.
There.
Buckles is going to be all over the front of every single newspaper the next day. Your design could be seen by everyone in the UK. That's the gauntlet I'm throwing down.
T H E A D A M, absent J O E, B O D C A S T. That's the podcast group, baby. You're grooving on it. Grooving?
Yeah.
Good. T-H-E-A-D-A-M, ampersand J-O-E, V-O-D-C-A-S-T, that's the podcast groove, baby.
Do you mind me calling you baby?
No.
Would you like being treated like a baby?
Yeah, no.
Have you done the stinky?
Yeah.
Sorry, listeners, but I'm a little bit smelly this morning.
Don't think they'll notice.
Honestly. I put it on clean this morning, and it's just, I think... I've been washing at a very low temperature to save the planet.
You're quite a hirsute man.
Hirsute?
Hirsute
is good. Like astute and hirsute.
Yeah. You're quite a hirsute man.
Yes, I am hirsute.
But it means odours get trapped in your fur. This is the beginning of an advert. Do odours get trapped in your fur?
Are you a small monkey man?
Furry stink out.
I've run out of furry stink out.
The scented comb. That you can use.
Remove small animals too.
To groom your body hair. Gets rid of nits, stenches, and knots. Nits, knots, and stinks.
Stenches, nits, knots, and lunches. I really need it because I'm not happy with my wash.
I'm fine. I'm only 3 or 4 feet away from you and I can't smell nothing.
Wear this shirt for the rest of the flipping day, though, Jim.
You're so astute.
Yeah, yeah.
So listen, if you listen to the podcast of this show, you might have heard the Lizard in the Blizzard song.
Right.
Which Dr. Buckles composed as a tribute to the G6 song.
Fly Like a G6. Yeah. Can never remember who that's
have
by.
Have we played it in the show itself or only,
I don't think we have.
Only in the podcast? It's podcast listeners only. Podcast, so if you don't listen to the podcast, here is a sample of this ongoing kind of musical soap opera.
It's like a saga now.
It started off as a riff on the G6 song, but now it's taken on a life of its rhyming own.
Mm. Popping jingles in the podcast, like a lizard making jingles. In the blizzard, every time the lizard takes a pee, it solidifies. Now he is surrounded by a bunch of frozen wee sticks. Frozen wee sticks, frozen wee sticks. The lizard is surrounded by the wee sticks. Because of his commitment to make jingles in the blizzard, the lizard is imprisoned in a cell made of wee sticks.
So you can understand how a song as powerful of that as that might have captured the public imagination.
That was episode one of the...
How many episodes have there been?
Four.
Four.
Episode five on this week's podcast.
And so we got this email from Abby Feltham. She says, "Dear Ads and Jozza, did you know that super cool mashup DJ Jaguar Skills..."
Yeah, I know Jaguar Skills.
"...sampled the Wii Sticks in a mix on One Extra last..."
Whoa.
"...week. He was mixing Like a G6 into Nero's Me and You, both records we know very well. And he added a cheeky little sample of the Adam and Joe show at the end. Good now one. This makes you cool. Congrats. You should go to Ibiza."
He's a mystery guy, isn't he? Like he's a... no one knows his true identity.
He's very important in
Jaguar
the dance
Skills,
world.
Is he?
Let's hear this clip from his mix. It's subtle,
it sticks
but it's
out
there
a little bit, doesn't it?
I don't think so. You know, I think it fits in perfectly. That's exciting. One Extra.
That's cool.
That was like a little glimpse into the world of One Extra. It's very exciting there, isn't it?
Because young people generally...
They like noises.
They do. They love noises.
Thumping and banging and noises and squealing.
Because people who are aged between around 17 and 25 don't generally listen to this program.
Oh, that's nonsense.
Is it?
Yeah, that's nonsense. That is nonsense.
That's much more vehement.
No, but that's
response.
Nonsense. No, but the nonsense button's gone off. Seriously, the nonsense button. It's flashing.
Corn balls. That is nonsense. Nonsense, nonsense, nonsense.
If you listen to this program and you're age 70 to 25, write to Dr. Buckles right now and tell him
there might be a few
adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
I'm generalizing that I think our listeners are either very young and don't know any better. or they're more sort of our age. But
nonsense.
I think... Nonsense, nonsense, nonsense! But I think the
hop.
Younger...
I want to see Hop. 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 The funny Easter Bunny.
The funny Easter Bunny is back with the voice of Russell Brand. Would you like to see Arthur starring Russell Brand? sorry, did I break the desk, James, when I thumped my hands?
One of the mics has gone wonkazoid.
Nonsense! I won't thump the desk anymore. I'm sorry about that.
So listen, that's exciting, isn't it? Are
that
you
is
flattered
exciting.
There that
Very
DJ DJ Jaguar Skills has sampled Wii Sticks?
Yeah, he's like the Chris Morris of the remix world.
Yeah, you can't believe it. Adam, he's put his hands on his head as if he's just trying to take it all
in. I'm showing off my stinky sweat patches.
It's very exciting.
Is that the best song ever made?
Very possibly.
I think it might be.
Very possibly.
I think it is the best song ever.
It would be a very difficult song to reproduce, wouldn't it? To try and restructure.
You'd have to be a kind of a madman or a musical genius.
Like who?
Like Sam. Sam sent us this jingle for Retro Text the Nation that he'd done. He says, "I don't quite know why I decided to spend most of an afternoon doing this. My girlfriend said I'll never get that time back, and I probably should have spent it planning..."
She's a fool!
She's an idiot!
She's an idiot.
Planning
Dump
our
her.
Wedding.
Dump her.
Well, they're getting married in less than a month, so that's not necessarily on
no,
the cards.
That's very exciting. Well done.
She doesn't even listen to the podcast, he says. So
what?
I win! Yes! And you do win, Sam, because we're going to play your jingle right now in the style of David Bowie. Here we go.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my troubles have disappeared because Retro Text the Nation's here. Now my lips and my ear it out instead of
That's excellent, isn't it?
Good use of time, Sam. He's even got the mumbling in there.
Amazingly good. Do you think that actually might be Bowie himself under a pseudonym?
I think it's so likely.
I think it definitely is.
That's a good impression, man. Hey, thank you so much for that, Sam. Yeah, Retro Text the Nation. We are collecting a few of the messages that have come in over the week about last week's Text the Nation subject, which was modern technology misery, bits of modern phenomena that have just made life a little
bit
worse.
Wasn't it? I realised when we got our suggestions in, I realised that actually there were sort of 30 different Text the Nation subjects in there.
Yeah, it's often the way.
You could do a whole one on automatic checkouts, for instance, couldn't you?
Right.
Or on automated telephone answering. You could do a whole one.
Hey, man, we probably will.
Hey!
At some stage. Here is one right now from Stu in London. He's a mailman. He says, hi, Adam and Joe. Have you noticed that there's a pause between pressing the button on a TV or DVD player remote control and the actual response on the screen? This pause seems to be getting longer and longer with each new generation of equipment. Blu-ray players take ages respond.
Yes.
Back in the day, it seemed like just a quirk of technology, but now I feel they're being willfully disobedient and that this is the first sign of machines becoming sentient and forming an uprising. Welcome your views on the matter. Totally agree.
Completely agree. The time it takes for a Blu-ray machine to turn on.
What is it flipping doing?
It's absurd.
It's like it's.
The time it takes to load.
Psyching himself up.
Oh,
you want to watch your film, do you? All right, I'll be.
And it displays a little message. Hello, just wait a minute, please.
Wait a minute? The fridge doesn't say that to me when I want to get something fridgy out of it.
And don't get me started on how long the warnings take. You know, the unskippable warnings. Unskippable trailers on a Disney movie.
We've talked about that before, but it's a phenomenon that's just getting even more maddening and ludicrous. Blu-ray players.
Here is one from Naomi in Bath. She says, the smartphone thing really hit a nerve. I'm a mature student, so I have a few friends who are about 10 years younger than me. I refuse to watch any movie I care about with them because when I've taken DVDs round to some of their houses, they can't watch for more than 10 minutes without texting on their BlackBerries. I've tried taking all their phones and hiding them down the side of the sofa, but if they bleep, my friends can't relax until they've checked them. Add to this the overall slower pace of films made before the 2000s, and their attention spans just can't cope. It drives me crazy!
It's true.
We're now reduced to watching things like The Karate Kid together, as I don't get stressed if I miss parts of a film like that.
What, the remake or the original, I wonder?
Who knows? They're both very good.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I think they are both very good.
They both are very good.
The second one is good, is it?
Yeah.
Is that because you know someone
It's because it made about $500 million worldwide.
Right.
Very successful. And if it's successful, in my book, that means it's good.
It means it's very, very good. What are they texting, though, when they're watching the movie? Are they just texting about other
stuff? They're texting, I'm watching movie.
Yeah. Gotta love that bit in Karate Kid.
That I'm not watching because I'm texting you.
Now, we're talking about cinema or automated phenomena as well, like phone robot voices last week. And here's a message from someone who's been on one of those cinema lines when you go and you phone up for the cinema times and you get the robot guy. I mean, obviously, you could go online, but sometimes maybe that's not an option. You don't have broadband or whatever. So here's someone who phoned up. Dear Buckles and Cornballs, I was particularly moved to email in and agree with the frustration that Joe displayed at voice recognition telephone calls. I recorded me on a call to a well-known cinema chain trying to get the film times out of them. I was so enraged by the end of the call, I needed a long bath and a sit-down in a quiet room listening to some cold.
And a nice warm bun.
And a nice warm bottom. Later, I realised that I should have just used the internet for that type of thing. Keep up the good work. Yours faithfully, Jake from South London. So here's Jake on the phone. I'm just going to let this play because it amused me and it more or less sums up everything that's wrong with modern life, I think.
Please say the name of the film you'd like to see or say what's on or more options.
What's on?
There are 26 films currently showing. You can interrupt me at any time by saying yes or no. And now, here are the films. Rio, 3D. Certificate U. Would you like this film?
No.
Rio, Certificate U. Would you like this film?
No.
Fast and Furious 5. Certificate 12A.
Yes.
Would you like this
film? Yes.
No.
What?
To speed things up, just interrupt me with yes or no. Hop, Certificate U. Would you like this film?
No.
Did you mean the film Hop?
No.
Okay. The current film is Hop, Certificate U.
Oh, God.
The Easter Bunny gets funny in this brilliant comedy that mixes animal. Did you say the film Toe?
No.
Okay. Please choose from the following films. Rio.
Oh, my
3D.
God, this has come back to the beginning.
3D family animation from the makers of Ice Age. God.
No.
For showing times, no. Press 2. For the next film, press 3. To book tickets, press 0. For a brief summary of the plot, press 5. If you have any other inquiries, press star. You've now heard all the options. Remember, you can just interrupt me by making a selection. Rio 3D. Certificate U. For a brief summary of the plot, press 5.
I mean, they could use that in Guantanamo Bay, couldn't they?
Yeah.
That'd be an amazing torture technique. It sounds very counterintuitive, the way they've set that up.
I know, and...
I mean, what about just saying the name of the film that you want to see instead of working through all... No.
Because, presumably, the software's not sufficiently sophisticated to recognise anything other than yes or no.
Can I interrupt you at any point simply by saying no?
Yes, you can.
While you're talking, can I just say yes or no?
Yeah, go on.
And then stop you.
Yeah. Are we done with Textination?
No.
Have you got more? Would you like to read any
more? No. No, I don't. I don't have any more. That's very good. Thank you very much for everybody sending in.
The Easter Bunny goes crazy in this enjoyable family comedy with Russell Brand. Would you definitely like to see it? No.
No.
It's time for Song Wars. The War of the Songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test. So check it out.
So it's Song Wars time. We haven't done this for a while, but now we have done it. And the theme was the royal wedding.
That's right.
It's a good imaginative theme. And so we've both done royal wedding songs. I did mine I was finishing it as the wedding happened yesterday. So they're not done in the knowledge of what happened yesterday, right?
No.
And indeed, I was feeling a tiny bit cynical about the whole endeavour until I actually witnessed it. And it's very hard to be cynical about it.
They're a sweet couple.
They're a sweet couple. And even if they, you know, and you, when you think about it, you think even if they'd wanted to have a private wedding, they wouldn't have been allowed to.
Yes.
It was foisted upon them.
I mean, as royals go, they are pretty low on the offensiveness radar.
I agree.
I would say. And they've never personally hurt me. I know Will's tried to rugby tackle me.
Has he?
Once.
Yes.
And I just noogied him and we were fine after
noogied.
That. Yeah, I did a little noogie.
Did you?
Yeah, across the head there.
Noogle.
But we go way back.
You did a special, very royal put a couple more syllables in there.
I would like, so we're going to flip a coin, right?
But listen, if you're a new listener and you haven't heard Song Wars before, these songs are genuinely entirely made by Adam and I individually at home.
It'll be hard to believe when you hear
using our computers. And we'd only decided the subject last Saturday. Both had very, very busy weeks. Okay, very busy weeks. So we've just done these in the evening. All right?
Yeah.
So lower your expectations all the way beneath floor level to a subclaseous.
You know, it's not like Cretaceous.
Correct? Cretaceous.
It's not like on a kind of slick comedy program. Maybe someone will come on and do a topical song.
No.
And it'll be all good.
This is organic. You know, it's like a cake you buy at a jumble sale.
It's just like a couple of weirdos and they've just done a weird thing on their computer.
But the key is you get to listen to both and you get to vote for your favourite. We'll tell you how once you've heard both songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got a coin. We're going to flip the coin to see who plays their song first.
I'll go for heads because it's a royal wedding and it'll be the head of the queen.
Thank you.
If it's heads, I'll go first. Oh, it's out of control.
I can't.
It's having to do it again. It went all over the shop.
And it is heads.
It's heads. I'm going to go first. Okay, my song is called A Right Royal Rave Up.
Okay.
Yeah, and so what you've got to imagine, listeners, is the following scenario.
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
So it's about 3 a.m. at Buckingham Palace last night. As we know, they had 6 staterooms, didn't they, for the reception and the party. In the central stateroom are all the biggest celebrities and the royal family themselves. And at about 3 a.m, when they know all the journalists have gone, it's getting quite sweaty. Everyone's in their black tie with bottles of champagne. They've taken their ties off kind of thing. They're loosening it up. So it's quite sexy. It's a bit like a Jay-Z video.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's, you know, dancing
the
and freaking out.
Out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And once they know no one's looking, they play the following track. And Kate and Will's perform it. Okay? And this is what happens when the royals rave. Here we go.
Yo, Katie.
Yo, Wills.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I've got chills.
Well, let's go.
If you've got blue blood, get your ass on the floor. Shake your royal booty, then shake it some more. There's 10 grenadier guards guarding the door. Let's start the party up in here just like we were poor.
Yo, Willie Windsor, I like the way you get down. I'd like to see you later wearing only your crown. You're so good looking, almost as fit as Ben Fogle. Wind your royal body to the Buckingham Bogle.
If you're called Prince Charles, get your bum on the floor. Pass the royal duchy, let us all have a draw.
If you're Camilla, dance like a freak on the tables. Get off with Mr. Bean and then wake up in the stables.
If you're the Queen, then let's see you grinding your hip. Throw your hands in the air like you're launching a ship.
Yo, Duke of Edinburgh, it's time to rip up the floor. Let's see you party like it's still the Second World War.
Cameras are flashing, it's the return of the king. Watch me rule Britannia like it's no big thing.
I'll be your princess, I'm going to show them who rules. I'll be the best at being in magazines and opening schools.
We're gonna rock Buck Palace till the break of dawn. Then have a civilized breakfast on the croquet lawn.
You drive me crazy when you wiggle your booty. You and I should do a constitutional duty.
Hold up your tea towels and your commemorative plates. Check out the bill of 20 mil we're costing the state. Cause we've got titles and we've got castles and treasure. And tonight we're going to party at Her Majesty's pleasure.
It's very, very political.
Is it? That's right. I just think I'll just call it the Royal Rave. That's the Royal Rave.
What's their constitutional duty?
Intercourse. Social conversational intercourse.
Sure. Dr. Buck's Palace. That's a little trick I missed there. Should have called mine Dr. Buckle's Palace. Yes. And a nice little Return of the King line in there as well.
Thanks a lot. I feel I should have gone, you know, I guess my voice is fairly posh as it is. I feel I should have gone a bit posher.
Right.
I kept it pretty much the same as...
Like, so posh that yeah. you come barely...
I didn't want to make it too grotesque a caricature.
Barely speak.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not too grotesque themselves. She's got a very cut-glass voice.
Yeah, she has. Sexy.
Yeah. But Wills himself, he's pretty much an everyman. Yeah. Pretty much every normal, totally normal guy.
Totally, absolutely, totally, completely normal.
I saw the film. Have you seen the American
I saw some of
TV
it on
movie?
Channel 5, yeah.
I tried to watch that.
It's very basic.
It's pretty
basic. It's like they haven't written a script, they've just cut, copy-pasted from Wikipedia.
Exactly. Or magazine, you know, articles
yeah.
in Hello.
Yeah.
And just reconstructed them. So what I did was I felt that I probably had to go for something from the Queen's point of view.
Mm, well, you've got a sort of secret weapon in this song, Wars.
I suppose.
Mm.
In that I have personal ties with Her Match.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to imagine that it is the first dance of the party, and the Queen steps up to the mic. She's written this specially to welcome Katie to the family and to give her a little bit of advice, and this is what happens.
And now, my lords, ladies and gentlemen, performing her own special musical tribute of a happy couple, Her Royal Maj Highness, the Queen.
Once upon a time in a lonely university lived a lonely couple called Willie and Katie. They fell in love when Katie showed her pants at a party, and then they went on telly to appear on Blinded Data. If you were a princess, what kind were you, boy? I'll be a really lonely one, I promise you, Your Majesty. I won't fix introductions for suitcases of money or do a sketch on Red Nose Day, even if it's really funny. Thanks a lot, Chuck, that sounds good to me. Graham, slide the curtain back, I think we'll go for Katie.
Willie and Katie, Katie and Willie.
You're going to have a lot of lonely life, just don't be silly.
Kate and Prince of Willies, Will and Princess Kate.
Just follow my instructions, please, I am the head of state.
Don't get a stupid butler who rifles through your pants.
He'll end up in the jungle with Declan and the ants.
Stay clear of Piers Morgan and other sleazy men.
Don't wanna see Andy Morton or Martin Bashir again. Sometimes the life of a princess can be a royal pain in the parts. A lonely Katie meeting boring people, asking what they do,
pretending that you're interested, smiling for the cameras too. When all you want to do is say you're all boring farts. Willie and Katie, Katie and Willie.
Welcome, Lully Katie, to a happy family.
Kate and Prince of Willies, Will and Princess Kate.
Laura, Laura, Lully, couple out, plan the data.
Katie, 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 Willie, Willie, Wills.
Don't dress up as Nazis, don't get hooked on pills.
Katie's on a plaintiff and Willie's on a cop.
There's a lot of people watching you, so please don't screw this up.
There you go. I mean, your one's quite political too.
Is it?
Quite provocative about the pills and everything there.
Just advice, things for them to avoid.
But your strength there was the Prince of Willies. By calling him repeatedly the Prince of Willies, I think people are going to like that.
So there you go. Those are our Song War songs. I'd like to dedicate mine to Pete Thomas and Claire Emmett, who are getting married today.
Ah.
We don't do shout-outs and dedications very often, but that one caught my eye and I thought, why not?
So this is what you've got to do, listeners. You can hear both songs again. I'm going to rephrase that. You can hear both songs again on our blog, bbc.co.uk/blogs/Adam and Joe. And then you can vote for your favourite track via the blog or via our usual email address, which is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. So you can vote for mine, which was Royal Rave Up. Or what was yours called, Adam?
Mine's just called Royal Wedding Song. I like to keep things functional.
There we go. And remember, it's very, very important that everybody votes. And it's very important that you listen very carefully to both songs.
Yeah,
think about them, discuss them mm-hmm. with your family sure. and friends.
Analyze and make an
informed decision.
You've got until 11 p.m. on Friday, the 6th of May, to cast your vote and be part of this constitutional monarchy song wars. The full terms and conditions can be found on our website. The winning song will be announced on next week's show, Saturday, the 7th of May. That's something to look forward to then, isn't it?
This is a podcast. You downloaded it quite fast. Using your broadband and some clicks done by your hand. Now you're listening to it in your house or in your car or a boat or in a plane. Hope it's nice wherever you are.
I think it's time for Text the Nation, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And we have got a jingle coming your way, courtesy of a band called The Scholars. And they sent us in this. Enjoy.
Very raw, very vital, very now.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been recorded live at one of the Scholars' gigs at the Rat Keller.
Who gives a thimble?
Yeah, who gives an absolute thimble box?
Not me.
No, I don't.
Certainly not. You must be thinking of somebody else. I don't care at all about anything.
No, none of the Scholars do.
I don't care about anything at all.
No, do you not? No. Do you care about, like,
no.
when your milk goes off? Do you still just have your milk off milk on your cornflakes?
Yeah, no,
or do you care?
No, I don't.
No, I don't like it. I do care about that. That was Chris Aylett or Eilett who Eilett? A-Y-L-E-T? Aylett?
Mm-hmm.
He sent that in. Thanks a lot, Chris. Maybe the Scholars are playing in a little creepy pub near you tonight and they might play that song. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Very exciting. I love small creepy pups that smell.
They're my favourite kind.
Listen, Text the Nation is the segment of the show where we give you a subject and you text us about it.
Yeah.
This week's subject is fiddles. Okay. Mm. Now, we're not talking about object fiddles. We're talking about body fiddles.
Body fiddles.
So this is stuff you do when you're doing something else and you just want to occupy your body. Like, for instance,
mm-hmm.
when I'm writing... Sometimes with a friend, I will, without knowing it, start to wiggle. Now, you're doing some now, in fact.
A little bit.
Hercules. I start to wiggle my knee. I mean, this is a very very popular one. You keep your toes on the ground, mm-hmm. lift the heel, and then you just undulate the knee rapidly.
He's a leg joggler.
And then, without knowing it, you can start to undulate the entire room, mm-hmm. maybe the table that you're working at, and the person you're working with can think it's some kind of tremor if you're working in Los Angeles.
If you've got two leg jogglers working together in the same room and they become and they dangerous. Start to synchronize.
Very dangerous.
Then you can get a real tremor happening.
Very dangerous. But it often happens, you know, you don't know you're doing it and it creeps up on you. Okay, here's another one. Number two. That's a very basic one. Number two, what I like to do is I like to get my bottom lip between my thumb and forefinger at the corners of the bottom lip, push together to create a loop in the bottom lip. Push the loop back and bite down with the top teeth.
Lip loop. Mm-hmm. Right. So you look like a kind of a froggy.
It's like you're making it's like you're making an M with your bottom lip and then you're pushing it in, biting it.
Rock a posh rabbit.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's very satisfying.
Do you have any carrots?
In fact, I like to do that to my lady partner friend. I like to do that.
What are you doing? Are you biting her at her
No,
lip?
I just get hold of her lip and I
stuff
fold
it in her top.
I tuck it in there.
Tuck it in there.
Yeah.
That's a nice little picture you painted there.
Thanks a lot. What do you like to do with your... What's your fiddle routine?
Well, I've got a beard.
Oh, there's a whole new world of facial fiddles.
Yeah, so I'll sort of play around with a little bit just below the lip.
Really? Do you know a thing? Here's a thing. Like, sometimes people have hair fiddles. Mm-hmm. Like, there'll be a particular little tuft of hair that they'll like to twizzle. And when I was a teenager, I thought that I could maybe actually adjust the shape, the style of my hair or the shape of my face. I thought if I fiddle enough with a bit of my face, like I can make my chin squarer or more prominent.
Sure.
If I just do that all my life.
Well, I mean,
you know
in
what I mean?
Theory, that works, doesn't it?
Does it?
I think so. You can more or less change the shape of your body.
You can mould your face, like very slow-motion plastic surgery.
Surely.
Over years and years.
I mean, that's what those hideous shoes in Japan used to do, isn't it, to geisha ladies sometimes? Am I getting my facts confused here? But you know the ones I mean, the very constrictive
ones.
Sure,
or a tribes person with the multiple necklaces that extend the neck.
So you can do those kind of things. You could wear... like a mask of Brad Pitt.
This subject's amazing.
This is amazing.
It's world-changing.
And, I mean, aren't they even marketed? Am I just imagining this? Like celebrity masks that you wear at night to mould your face into the shape of someone.
into the shape of a celebrity's face.
I mean, if these don't exist, I could make a lot
of
money.
That's a good idea because you have a plastic... Let's think of the biggest star in the world, right? Madonna.
Uh-huh.
She's on.
Is she still the biggest star?
I'm joking. Okay, I'm joking. Sorry. Madonna, she's the biggest star in the world.
Right.
What if you had a plastic mask and it was for kids? Mm-hmm. And just every night you put that mask... you'd have to have different sizes as the kid grows older.
Yes.
But yeah, you could shape your child's face.
Literally mould your child.
Like Madonna. And imagine what an easy life they'd have.
Yeah.
Looking just like Madonna, as a Madonna lookalike. Anyway, send us your fiddles, right?
Yes.
We want to know your fiddles. Please describe them quite accurately. They don't have to be spectacular. They can be small.
I'm a funny person. I often make up jokes. My jokes are more amusing than those of other folks. When you hear my joke, I think you'll find that you agree. Come on, you're all invited to a made-up joke party.
Now, we should alert you to an extraordinary thing that's happened online. Here's an email from PJ in Manchester. Hello, Adam. Hello, Joe. I've had a lot of repetitive work to do recently, and to combat the boredom, I listened back to some older podcasts, including your own. I reached the point where you began including the made-up joke section into the Chuckle Mix, and after a curious Google, I was unable to find a definitive list of the jokes featured in the show. I've therefore thrown one together at the following address.
Address.
I can't speak today.
That's okay.
http://... Do I need to do that anymore?
What kind of address is that?
It hasn't
you don't
finished
need to do
yet.
That, so I
haven't
that was
finished
the address.
Yet. /... made up joke party, all one word, .tumblr.com. Tumblr spelled T-U-M-B-L-R, if you're not familiar with Tumblr. That's madeupjokeparty.tumblr.com. Glad to have you chaps back on the wireless. PJ from Manchester. So you should go and check out that site because he has archived, I think. I'm not sure whether he's done it exhaustively, but he's certainly archived a lot.
A lot
of the made-up jokes that have been read out
and
on this
program. And done it beautifully. I mean...
He's the design is immaculate.
I don't know if he's like a special web design professional, but
well,
he's done
be.
An amazing job.
It's beautiful to look at and they're very well collated.
Yeah.
And if you ask me, it's the beginning of a resource that the internet sorely lacks. We couldn't find a proper joke database. There are one or two things claiming to be joke databases, but they're not very thorough.
The quality control
is
a bit random.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is that it is a bit of a nest of eggs. What's the word I want? A crown of thorns.
Hirsute.
It's a bit of a worm basket because...
Can of worms.
Yeah, can of worms. There you go. Yeah. That's what I was after. Nest of eggs. It's a bit of a nest of eggs because he's got, like, for example, the badminton joke on there, which I think everyone agrees now was
is a Tim Vine joke.
Yeah. But I don't know if he's credited that to Vine on the actual.
But there needs to be. I mean, this whole problem would be solved by Jokopedia,
right?
By a central database of all jokes that records their history and when they were first. It would be like the Doomsday Book.
Sure it would.
But for jokes.
Yes.
So I think that's the beginning of that, PJ. You might have saddled yourself with a job for life that pays you nothing.
Yeah, good one. This is from Marsho. Marsho's from Sydney, Australia, mate.
Mate.
So did you hear about those removal men who could stuff hundreds of cooling devices into their low-slung vehicle? They formed a band and called themselves the Fan Low Van Crammin' Alls. The Fan Low Van Crammin' Alls. The Fan Low Van Crammin' Alls. Van Lo Van Kramenals.
It's a tuneful one. Tuneful one.
You got a tuneful pop.
That was, it was tough. He was, he had to break the ice. He was the first joke off the segment.
Sure, it was tough. And he went,
the segment.
We went in with quite a, you know, a complicated one.
A complicated one. I've got another quite similar one here. I do like ones like these because they're so tortured. You know that they're authored. Dear Adam and Joe, back in the day, my sister and I made up a game where we tried to construct the most contrived, pun-filled sentence possible. I believe that one of our efforts can be turned into a hilarious joke, although many friends and acquaintances disagree. What did the furniture repairman say to the customer who wanted to do the furniture repairs without any assistance? I don't stink stool be table to do it draw shelf. That's good. Come on. You do that again. What did the furniture repairman say to the customer who wanted to do the furniture repairs without any assistance?
Say it like a normal sentence.
Don't stink stool. Hang on. Don't stink stool be table to do it draw self.
I don't stink stool be able.
Did you read it? Is that?
God. That is a tongue twister. I don't stink stool to be. Oh, it's impossible.
Hard.
I don't stink stool be table to do it draw self. It's impossible.
It's very good. That's very good. And that comes from Daniel and Laura. If anyone would like to buy this joke for use in Christmas crackers or a stand-up routine, then we're open to offers. Say Daniel and Laura. Thanks. Bye.
Here's some pithy ones, which I do believe were authored by the people who say they done them. This is from Bill Booth in Tottenham. And he says, I made two made-up jokes. They caused those near and dear to me to become deeply morose.
Always the sign of a good joke.
But they are self-authored, and I'm proud of them. Number one, why did the Belgian keep mixing up his indefinite articles? Because he was Antwerp.
That's good. I like that.
That's good.
Because he was Antwerp.
He's Antwerp. Antwerp. Number two, which American state is Scooby-Doo from? Idaho.
That's quite good.
Idaho.
I mean, they've possibly been done before.
Shut up!
I will not.
Shut up!
I maintain that they may have been done before.
Shut up!
This is
shut up!
This is a good
shut
you.
It. Shut it!
This is
shut,
a good
shut,
way
shut,
to
shut.
Argue.
No! No!
No!
No!
No!
No!
No! Hop!
Like Ben Kingsley in Sexy Beast. No! Shut up! No! No! No!
Oh, that's amazing. An amazing film. That's a good joke. Good jokes. Who are they from?
That's Bill Booth from Tottenham.
Okay. Here's another one. This is from Simon Bennett in Crouch End. And this is more a witty thing he said.
Yeah.
All right. We were in a Spanish restaurant eating tapas, and a friend raised the question, what supermarkets do they have in Spain? I promptly replied, I think they must have Sainsbury's. He did it fast. Sainsbury's. Sainsbury's.
Bang. Straight in there with Sainsbury's.
Bang. Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's.
Oh. That was from Simon Bennett in Crouch End.
James Neat says, and here's a nice pithy one, which I'm not sure maybe has been made before. James Dyson is launching a new range of vacuum cleaners. He's adding to his oeuvre.
His oeuvre.
Hey,
this would be an opportune time to comment on some of the emails we received after complaining about that hand washer. the Dyson hand washer blade. That somebody said pushed the water up onto your wrists. Mm-hmm. And lots of people emailed in to say that people who found water being pushed onto their wrists were doing it wrongly.
Incorrectly using the blade.
Insert your hand sideways, laterally.
Then pull out.
And then pull out so the water is pushed down towards fingertips.
Yeah. You deserve water on your cuffs if you're misusing
you got
the blade.
Look at the instructions.
He's adding to his hoover.
I've got one or two jokes that only work in select company.
Yeah.
I pick them out because you can only say them in crowds that will understand certain things.
Sure.
So these won't play widely.
Right. You've got to be careful where you use them.
Yeah. So here's one, for instance, from John the Entomologist.
Johnny Entomologist.
What does an entomologist do, Adam?
Insects, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. Hi, Adam and Joe. This joke only works in certain circles. Question. Why was the sleeping giant blinded when a Sassanid Persian cavalryman charged into his face because he had a cataphract in his eye? The reason. A cataphract was a type of armoured heavy cavalry used in ancient warfare by a number of cultures. I like these ones. Here's another one that can only be used in select company. And this is by Gareth Carroll. You do one. I'll come back to this one.
All right, then. Here's a really nice one, I think. Phil McNamara. He's a male man. He says, and this is just a one-liner. There's a convent full of stupid people, except for one, and she's none the wiser. None the wiser. Wordplay. Wordplay. Wordplay.
Okay, I'm going to have a second try at this joke that only works in select company. What did two compound analgesic painkillers do to jointly encrypt the burrowing garden mammal?
Flipping heck.
What did two compound analgesic painkillers do to jointly encrypt the burrowing garden mammal?
Cocodamol.
Did you hear Julian's cocodamol joke?
It's the funniest analgesic comment that I've heard all month.
He was absolutely the star of the conference.
Certainly. Some people come out with the most tedious analgesic jokes, and that was
Darren's show has now been compromised by the lizard. He's got the train to Padley, George, and started getting slizzard. Darren B follows him there to gain an explanation. But when he finds the lizard, he's disturbing family picnics. Family picnics, family picnics. The la 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 lizard is disturbing family picnics. He got the train to Padley, George, which is in the Peak District, where the lizard has resorted to disturbing family picnics.
Phil Rennie, he's a mailman. He's a graphic designer from Manchester. And he was...
What was the rhyme there? District and picnic. Lake District and picnic.
Yeah. Picnic.
Does that rhyme?
District. Yeah, broadly speaking. That's all you need. Yeah. Padley George is where the lizard is going. And he's
good work.
He started disturbing family picnics. And there were a few good ones, but there were way more insane ones that you could never in a million years fit to that.
Well, it's tough. You're reaching the elastic limit of rhymes, right?
Yeah.
And that's why we've thrown this out to our listeners to try and push these rhymes further than they've ever been pushed before. So like, they're just pushing.
For example, see if you can actually make these words by Chris Manuel that he sent in fit to the jingle. And there's a little count in at the beginning.
Where are
of
they?
The jingle.
Point to them.
These ones. So these are the lyrics here, right?
Yeah.
See
okay.
if you can make them fit in any conceivable way.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Stealing Darren Beatrix isn't nice. So he sent the lizard to a wizard, and the wizard appeared right in front of the lizard's eyes. The wizard said to the lizard, I'm gonna open your eyes, open your eyes. Guess what? You're in the Matrix. Come fly if you wanna. Cause in the Matrix, in the Matrix, Matrix. The lizard said, wow, 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 wow. Look at me, I'm flying. Cause I'm in the Matrix. In the Matrix. Yeah. I don't know, I just got more.
It goes
I've got,
on for
I've
a
got
while.
A lot more. There's a lot more.
Thanks, Chris Manuel. I mean, you know, it's just... freestyling is what it was.
Wow. Look at me. I'm flying because I'm in the Matrix. Wow. I'm flying in the Matrix.
I like the way he sort of repeats all these phrases as if they're in some way going to fit with
That's how
the
it goes.
Things.
That's how it goes. I think you're losing touch
with
contemporary lyric structures.
I'm in the Matrix.
There's a song that does that, isn't there?
Is there?
That they use on fashion shows.
References to the Matrix, though, surely that's been outlawed.
I think that's really good work, Chris Manuel.
I'm dissing it.
I'm behind you.
I'm in no way dissing it, Chris Manuel.
And thank you for everyone who's contributed lyrics to Lizard in the Blizzard. We're going to keep that going, right?
Are we
going to
keep it going?
Of course we are. I think we should, we should encourage the super intelligent listeners to really focus on this.
Are we going to continue this narrative as well?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But you don't. All you have to do is sing it. The listeners provide the words.
Sure.
Why are you concerned?
Because I got to read them.
You got to read them all. We can split them between us.
I'm going to try and fit them to the actual jingle.
I'll do Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
All right.
You do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
All right, done. Deal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We'll sort it out. If it's no good, we'll kill it.
Like the doggy.
The doggy. The doggy came back last week.
Doggy's fine.
The doggy's fine. It's in the area.
He's absolutely fine. He's been running around. I've grown to love him recently.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's tough, though, isn't it? He's very lovable, but
I was thinking of bringing him into the show next week.
No.
Sure.
Let's continue with the podcast.
Here it is.
You needed cheering up because you were feeling rather low. But now you're doing brilliant thanks to Adam and to Joe and their podcast.
I think we should get back to Text the Nation right now, but we're going to do so by way of a new jingle, another new jingle that's been sent in. Thank you so much for these. Please keep them coming. And this is a dubstep treatment of the Song Wars theme by Oliver Dentith from Manchester. He presumably would be in trouble if he was a dentist, don't you think, with that surname?
But have you heard that radio program on BBC Six News? Adam Buxton, very funny man. Made a comment today about
He's got a wheezy laugh. Let's hear the jingle. Come on, Jaguar Skills. Stick that in your groove pipe and smoke it.
It's extraordinary business.
Yeah.
Do you know what that reminds me of?
No.
When you're on a dance floor, right?
Yeah.
Like what we are all the time, because we got clubbing a lot.
Clubbing tonight.
And when you think you know when the beat's going to come in, and you get your body physically ready to really do a big, whoa, a big star jump, and then whoever's done the record knows you're thinking that, and they undercut you by tricking you.
Yeah, they put in.
I mean, a lot of contemporary dance music is like that anyway, isn't it? And it sorts out the wheat from the chaff on the dance floor, whether you know when it's going to drop.
Oliver Dentith knows that, and that's why he done that jingle. And so you're a dentist, and what was your surname? Dentith. Dentith.
You'll never get over that.
Hey, what? So the topic for this week's Text the Nation
was but it's fiddles. Little fiddles you enjoy doing that maybe irritate other people, but you can't get by without. I drum my heel. I like to push my lower lip and bite down on it with my top teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But here's stuff. I'm going to clear my throat. Sorry.
Nice. I caught that.
Sorry. Here's one from Matt.
A little bit of puke.
I'm sorry about that, listeners. I do sincerely apologise. I enjoy flicking my Adam's apple with my index and middle fingers. It helps me think. Now, someone I know, do you do that? Only when you're doing a...
Well, I do that sometimes. I do the... Wicker whistle, and this is true.
I wouldn't want to do that. I'd be frightened I might, because in my mental brain, I see the Adam's apple as a sort of ball, a kind of ball bearing, held in a sort of quite feeble tube.
Yes.
And I would worry if I flicked it too hard, it might go... It might pop out, and I might swallow it.
And it would just roll out through your bottom.
Yeah, and then it would plop into the lavvy later. Mm-hmm.
I'd have to pop it back in. Could that happen? Has that happened?
I'm sure it's happened. Yeah.
It should happen in a horror film.
That would be bad, wouldn't it? That would be bad. Out your Adam's apple.
There's probably some sort of Heimlich manoeuvre you can do to pop it back up. Oh, that's better.
That's a good one, though. I flick my cheeks sometimes to make the, you know,
to make the drop of water. That's more of a trick than a fiddle. Here's one from Louise. I have a pair of earrings that are just the right length and shape to repeatedly flick one up into my ear and shake it out. Very satisfying. Mm. So she can flick it up and let it sit in her ear. Mm. Then presumably she waggles her head and lets it drop out.
Might be nice and cool.
It's very, what, the metal?
Nice and cool, yeah.
In the inner ear.
Your ear's too hot. You pop an earring in. Cool earring. That's nice.
What is one from Nell? I like to cross my little toe over the one next to it. Mm-hmm. I do this on both feet with my big toes. My husband hates it, but I feel right, and I will never stop doing it.
Right. My wife does this thing where she balances, I'm just reminded by that, holds her arm in the air and just sort of balances it as if, like...
Weird.
You know, she's just holding it.
Sounds like
it
some
there.
Lady yoga thing she's read in some mag.
I don't know what she's doing, but what is she doing? In her mind, she is not using
Make
any effort.
Make her stop it. Have you
keep
no
the
control?
Arm in the air. You know what I mean? And she's just like, oh, I smack it down.
Yeah, quite
and
rightly.
She does it.
Quite
yeah.
Rightly. Quite right.
What are you doing? Get your arm down. If there's no reason for your arm to be in the air, then stop it, woman. Where's my fish fingers?
That's the way to do it. Here's one from Brow Fiddler in Leeds. Fiddle, I rub my eyebrows the wrong way, so they're all tufty.
Nice idea.
Then I take satisfaction in making them all perfect by smoothing them down again.
Well, something
you
the nice
do that right now.
The fun thing to do is, like for a joke present at a stag party that I went to the other day with lots of middle-aged men at it, someone had got us all nose hair trimmers and eyebrow trimmers. And so the fun thing I do every now and again is I ruffle up my eyebrows and then I trim the heck out of them with the little eyebrow.
Do you?
Yeah.
You trim your eyebrows?
Every now and again, when I remember, because sometimes they can get well unruly and there's nothing a woman hates less than an unruly brow.
There's nothing a woman loves more than a man with well-groomed eyebrows. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to say, not hates less.
Matt Peace in Stourbridge writes, similar to your lip loop, I pluck the hair that sprouts between my bottom lip with my teeth. Oh, beneath my bottom lip with my teeth.
Yeah.
It hurts, but in a good way.
Mm.
So once that is sort of biting your, or a little bit of beard underneath it, how do you do that?
Get it in your teeth there.
Really? So you have to get the hair between the teeth and then pull it out. That's tricky.
Oh,
but as a beard owner, you're good at it.
Sometimes what I do is when my moustache overhangs... Mm. I'll grab a little bit of that between my teeth and yank one out just to give myself a little painful thrill.
Here's one from Andy. Hi, Adam and Joe. My sister Nikki has a major body fiddle with her ear that she's done since she was a toddler. She's been doing it so long now that she's able to tuck her ears into their own holes and leave them there for about half an hour, happily disturbing all around her.
I used to be very jealous of people at school who could do that.
Traveling tales, tales of traveling on the train or an automobile or an aeroplane. I want to know what your traveling tales.
All aboard the Skylark!
Now, here's one that was sent in by our kind of in-house illustrator man, James Hood. He's a man that got in touch with the show. He's a talented illustrator, James Hood. And he has very kindly illustrated various aspects of this show, which you can see on our blog. A reminder, that's bbc.co.uk/blogs/Adam and Joe. Anyway, James gets in touch on the subject of travelling tales. Hi, Adam and Joe. Hope all's well with you. On the subject of nightmare train journeys, I was once on a train sitting next to Richard Herring. Friend of Six Music, of course. He was minding his own business, watching Curb Your Enthusiasm and tweeting frantically on his iPhone. A small boy, perhaps 5 years old, was sitting opposite him, eating crisps and swinging his legs, and in so doing, accidentally kicked Richard Herring's knee softly a number of times. This visibly upset Richard Herring, who began to stare the child out. When this didn't work, Richard Herring, the man, checking the mother wasn't looking, kicked the 5-year-old boy back somewhat harder. The boy moved to sit opposite us and spent the rest of the journey kicking my wife.
So in short, Herring kicks child.
Herring kicks 5-year-old child.
Child assaulted by television comedian.
Yeah, exactly. And he says also, could you pass my congratulations to Joe for his success with Attack the Block? Looking forward to seeing that next month.
That's
Thank you very
nice.
Much, James Hood. Have you got any travelling tales there, Joe?
Yes, I do. Here is one from... I tell you what, I'm going to leave the name until the end of the email.
Okay.
Here is my annoying train story. In fact, that's written in capitals. So, here is my...
annoying train story!
There we go. On a journey from Sheffield to London not so long ago, a family of parents, a daughter and the daughter's boyfriend sat adjacent to me. I have to add, the daughter and boyfriend were at least 30 years old. They started this two-hour journey with a homemade London quiz, loudly shouting the answers out. Questions such as, where did all the pearly kings and queens originate from? Then they all proceeded to decorate gingerbread men with icing.
What?
Then they got the ticket woman to judge the gingerbread men and declare the winner, which meant more noise. Finally, they unveiled a large spread of all kinds of smelly food, including alcohols, and after eating it all, they proceeded to brush the crumbs in my direction. I have a few qualms with crumbs and food on trains, so this was particularly annoying. I arrived in London, not very happy, had a terrible night out. Love from Emily, a woman.
A woman.
So she has become infuriated by a very infuriating family.
By a jolly family who are making their own entertainment on a train and involving everyone in the fun.
A gingerbread icing competition.
A homemade quiz. Judged by the conductor.
But it's funny, isn't it? Like, one person's good time can be the other person's living hell.
You know, I would say that kind of behaviour is a little tiresome.
Whose side would you be on?
Well, I'd be on the side
Emily's
of the lady.
Or happy family?
It depends how happy they are. If they're really, well, you know, they can have their own good times without annoying everyone else, surely, can't they?
Not when Emily's sitting near them.
I guess not. Here's someone who was outraged by the story I was telling last week, or at least my response to the story that someone told about ruining the fun of people who try and reserve seats next to them by piling their bags.
Yes, tactics for trying to get a spare seat, get a bit of space around you.
And this is from Victoria Green, who says, as a longtime fan of the show and a regular almost daily user of trains, I was disappointed to learn that you, Adam Buxton, are among the many who believe your bag deserves a separate seat all by itself. You say that people can always ask you if they want to sit down, but my feeling is they shouldn't have to. What if someone is a tiny bit shy, has a bad throat, or doesn't speak the language? I got on a train yesterday, and when somebody quite rightly asked the man opposite me if he could take the seat that was currently occupied by the man's bag, said man begrudgingly picked it up, saying, "If you have to." I wanted to punch him, but contented myself with giving him evil looks, which of course he didn't notice. You must stop this selfish practice now! I was going to email you initially about something else, but once inflamed with anger about your train etiquette, or lack thereof, I forgot what. Yours, hopefully, Victoria Green.
I'm confused. What's the gist of that?
So she is basically saying that it's not good enough for me to, you know, say that I'm going to take my bags away if anyone else comes and wants to use them. She's just outraged by anyone being selfish enough to do the bag
piling.
Here's
the key. How small is your smallest child?
Two.
Two. Well, what's the middle? How old is Natty?
Six.
Six. Okay. And you've got quite a big rucksack, haven't you?
I've got a collection of small
Pop rucksacks. Natty in the rucksack.
Yes.
Make some little leg holes and armholes. Mm-hmm. And when anyone complains, that's Natty's cue to stick his limbs out the holes and his head would pop up
like
and
a little,
he'd shout something aggressive.
A turtle.
So you it's an immediate switcheroo. The person thinks it's a bag. It's not a bag. It's a person.
It's a little baby.
And they're sussed.
It's a little guy.
It's a little guy. A little chap. A happy mm-hmm. chappy.
Yeah.
Yeah? Problem solved.
That's a brilliant idea.
Come to the Cornwalls with your problems.
Thanks, Cornwalls. I mean, I'd probably do it with my two-year-old.
That's why I'm a doctor.
She's easier to carry.
Yeah, good idea.
Pop her in the
pack. Well, you've got a different kid for each sized bag.
Sure.
Depending on your travel props.
Thanks, Cornwalls.
Here's a... You didn't sound very enthusiastic. It sounded like you're just trying to make me feel happy.
This is from Sam Goddard, who says, a few months ago, I was travelling from London Bridge back to my home in Tadworth. Half dazed after a long day at work, I heard this voice. I don't know if I was listening to a hypnosis tape or the calm voice of a Hannibal-type character. To this day, I can't work out if the voice was the driver or some amazing computer voice. I've played this sound clip to many people and opinion is split. What do you think, listeners?
Gentlemen, very good evening. John Barford, this is your 1821 Southern Service to Tatton Corner. The service now calls at Reedham, Smitham, Woodenstone, Chipstead, Kingswood, Tadworth and Tatton Corner.
That is a good voice.
Tadworth and Tatton Corner. It sounds like he's got a pinched nose and he's peculiarly elongating certain words.
It's too eccentric to be a computer,
no,
isn't it?
It's not a computer. That's a real guy.
No, I think it's a computer what has gone wrong.
You reckon?
Yeah.
A posh computer that has gone wrong.
Sure, but if you were a real guard and you didn't want any hassle from the passengers, that would be the way to play it.
That's right.
Stay in your box and talk like a robot whenever you have to talk through the talking thing.
Welcome aboard the 855 service to Cadworth. Hope you're enjoying. Don't forget that a full buffet service is available in the buffet carriage.
I think you'll find that more and more in public life as lazy workers try and get off things.
Yeah,
pretending to be robots.
People pretending to be robots.
Like if you were a genuine human living phone answerer in some call centre, mm-hmm. you could just pretend to be a robot. Then you wouldn't have to interact with anybody.
Yeah.
Wicked idea.
That is a wicked idea. Just pretend
to
be a robot.
In fact, we could do it mm-hmm. on this programme. Hello, welcome to Adam and Joe on Six Music.
Have you ever pretended to be a robot on the phone? Because, you know, sometimes you'll get through to someone's answering machine and their message will be so conversational that you're actually fooled. You know, the message will be something like, "Hi, thanks for calling. How you doing?" You know, they'll leave gaps
and
stuff.
And you think the person's a robot.
Yeah. Hello. Hi.
Not sure that's happened to me. You know what I do like to do is if I call up an automated answering machine, I like to talk to them in a highly obscene way and get quite sweary and aggressive because, of course, they can't respond. They're robots.
Yeah.
But it's a good way to let off steam.
Sure.
So when I select my films, I do it in a very, very racy fashion.
Peppered with foul language. And if it's being recorded for quality control purposes, so much the better.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text!
So the Text the Nation subject this week, listeners, is all about body fiddles, sort of irritating little habitual things, not irritating to you, but irritating to other people that you do to pass the time when you're thinking and you don't quite sort of realise you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Here is one from Duncan, who is aged between 17 and 25.
Okay.
Yeah?
In my face.
He says, re-body fiddles, I sometimes like to grab my cheek and gradually pull it while keeping my lips closed. Eventually, a sort of vacuum effect is created and a short burst of air rushes in. Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Don't even want to make that noise a lot. Let's move on. Here is one from Lou on way to Liverpool from Bath for a wedding, listening on Car DAB. When I'm thinking or getting excited, I rub my palms briskly together, keeping my hands very straight. So people say I look like a smiling, insane miser. That you generate quite a lot of heat when you do that. That can be dangerous. The hands can combust. That's how spontaneous human combustion starts.
Is it?
No.
No, by people careful. Rubbing their hands together.
Dear Adam and Joe, this is from Liv Coombs, a woman, in Portishead. Dear Adam and Joe, whenever I'm bored, I get my finger and put it in my mouth, in the cheek area, and make a pop sound. It's very satisfying.
Sure.
Obviously, it's very annoying, and is followed by glares from my fellow classmates. I do love the noise, though, says Liv Coombs. Is she just talking about that?
Yeah.
Just a basic
doing
pop.
The pop.
That's quite an annoying fiddle.
That's what you get.
Okay, here is a tricky one, and I want you to try and do this one as I read it out, please,
okay.
Count Buckley's, because I don't really know what she's describing. Hey, Adam and Joe. Oh, he is describing. I lift all the fingers up, apart from my middle finger, which I try and fold it into my hand.
Is this from one of our 17 to 25-year-olds?
19. He's called Ollie. He's a male. He's 19. Okay, I'm going to read this verbatim. I lift all the fingers up apart from my middle finger, which I try and fold it into my hand. This somehow makes you lose control of it and it become limp. I then use my other hand to flick it, the tip of it, and watch it jiggle. My girlfriend makes me do it when she is bored, but both of us get great satisfaction from it. I include a crude diagram I did on Paint very quickly to demonstrate the hand position. Boy, oh boy, I didn't make that. Didn't make any sense. Oh, there we go. You're doing it. That's quite good, isn't it?
It's not like the most fun thing ever.
Well, they love it. Ollie and his girlfriend love it.
What are you doing on Tuesday? Should we do the thing with the finger? Yay!
Here's one from Jim. I like to let my lips stick together, then inflate my mouth slowly with lung air. It's fun to see how inflated my mouth gets before my lips split. Also, on initial lip split, I like to stick my tongue through and wiggle it a bit.
Initial lip split.
Yeah.
So he's turning himself into a sort of a Dizzy Gillespie type big cheek guy. Here's one from Robert in Bermondsey, which I can relate to. I have a peculiar habit of forming an extreme pout so that my top lip has made contact with the tip of my nose, reminiscent of a chimpanzee. I will then inhale deeply with satisfaction before relaxing my contorted face. I probably do this around 20 to 30 times a day.
My God. You can do that. I can't do that.
Can you not get your lip?
I can't get my lip up there, no.
Is that as good as you can do? Seriously?
Yeah. Can't get it up
it's
there.
It's not anywhere near his nose.
No, nowhere near it.
It just looks like a sneer. He's doing
I'm too
Johnny
handsome.
Rotten.
I'm too handsome. Only the
I can more or less seal my nostrils with my top lip.
Mm.
I mean, I've got a kind of big set of nostrils as well.
Can't
big
do
monkey,
it.
Monkey nose. I like it. And then it's fun to smell your top lip as well sometimes.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, yeah. If you've been, especially with a moustache, you know, if you've got any breakfast morsels left over, any sort of honey or stuff, it's nice.
Nice.
THEADAM, absent JOE, BODCAST. That's the podcast groove, baby. You're grooving on it. Are you grooving?
Yes.
Good. THEADAM, absent JOE. BODCAST, that's the podcast groove, baby.
Do you mind me calling you baby?
No.
Would you like being treated like a baby?
Yeah, no.
Have you done the stinky?
Yes.
THEADAM, ampersand JOE. BODCAST, that's the podcast groove, baby.
That's it for the podcast this week, listening human men and human ladies.
A woman. Very nice of you to listen. Don't forget to correspond with us if you would like to feature in Retro Text the Nation during the show next week. You can by emailing us, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
Tune in to next week's show to find out who is going to win the Song Wars battle. Also to find out how we got on at Joe's premiere. Very exciting event, momentous event. Premiere of his first feature, the first of many. I hope that, you know, within 5 years, I'm going to be invited to wear some kind of ludicrous costume to the Oscars, where you'll be picking up your statuette for your new film.
I'm frightened. We haven't really talked about it, and now you're suddenly talking about it a lot.
About a short,
I don't know how to process
bearded,
it.
Disabled genius called Dr. Buckles. This is going to be your Oscar-winning film I'm talking about. I'm trying to think of ways that I can actually be in one of your films.
Oh, you'll get there. I just didn't want to take you down with me if I made a big old boob up of it.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think, though, about the Oscar-winning one, the short, hairy, disabled?
Well, that's what I'm saving you for. Mm. And it's a bit like, what was that film, that Julian Schnabel film about the paralysed man?
The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
It'll be a bit like that. Mm. But you won't actually be medically ill. You're just cripplingly stupid.
Okay. And we'll win Oscars?
Yeah. Excellent. Oh, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, presumably I'm going to really try my best to get styled by someone who's got in touch with the program. Mm. A few people emailed the program while we were on air. I tell you, I'm going to get in touch with some of them because I've got no clue what I'm going to wear if they don't help me.
I can't wait to see the outfit. It's going to turn heads.
it'll end up being an ill-fitting suit.
Ah.
So all that to look forward to next week. I hope you enjoy yourselves this week, ladies and gentlemen. Keep your feet in the mud and your head in the toilet. It was one of those shows this week, you know what I mean? I made the mistake of going to bed too late last night.
What time did you go to bed?
One. That's too late. Normally, I'm not in bed later than 12. Also, I had the fourth glass of wine last night.
Got up what time?
Got up at 7:30.
7:30?
Yeah. And it was just too... It was not enough sleep. Next week, I'm just going to exercise the night before.
You're going to be amazing.
I'm going to only drink mineral water and eat vitamins, and it's going to be a totally different show.
Cannot wait.
Till then, I love you! Bye!
Bye-bye.
BBC Six Music Podcasts.
If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show, Sundays from 4.
Six Music. Six Music.
Would you like to explain?
I have absolutely no idea what that means. Not English, but I absolutely adore it.
It's absolutely wonderful.
It shakes my booty uncontrollably when I have causing quite difficulties in the street. I was walking along, his booty was completely out of control. Absolutely impossible to get my shopping done.
I was grooving so much that I vomited.
It was terrible. The doctor thought I had an early onset Alzheimer's, but actually it was just a Jay-Z making my booty shake.
It was incredible. And what does it stand
very
for?
Very exciting. It's hover. Very exciting. Very terribly optimistic for the future of young people. There's music like that.
What does hover stand for?
A positive outlook. It's just like a hovermower or a hovercraft.
It's a hovermower. It's about a mower.
It's probably Eddie Izzard. He's gone to America. He's made friends with rappers. So it's probably some consequence of Eddie Izzard making friends with Jay-Z. I'd imagine. I'm merely speculating. I've absolutely no idea. I'll ask my nephew.
Noel Gallagher.
I'm seeing my nephew this weekend.
Noel Gallagher.
I'm giving him 50 pence.
I said Noel Gallagher.
Sorry?
Noel Gallagher.
I do. Yes. What?
Well, I just said his name.
There's a chap at the council called Oliver.
It's not the same.
Probably not the same, man. No.
Adam and Joe
on Six Music.